I invite you to be finding in your Bible Acts chapter 11. We're going to be looking at the first several verses of this chapter. Acts chapter 11, beginning at verse 1. Acts 11:1, the Word of God says, "The apostles and the brothers throughout Judea heard that the Gentiles also had received the Word of God. So when Peter went up to Jerusalem, the circumcised believers criticized him and said, 'You went into the house of uncircumcised men and ate with them.' Peter began and explained everything to them precisely as it had happened. 'I was in the city of Joppa praying, and in a trance I saw a vision. I saw something like a large sheet being let down from heaven by its four corners, and it came down to where I was. I looked into it and saw four-footed animals of the earth, wild beasts, reptiles, and birds of the air. Then I heard a voice telling me, 'Get up, Peter, kill and eat.' I replied, 'Surely not, Lord. Nothing impure or unclean has ever entered my mouth.' The voice spoke from heaven a second time, 'Do not call anything impure that God has made clean.' This happened three times, and then it was pulled up into heaven again. Right then, three men who had been sent to me from Caesarea stopped at the house where I was staying. The Spirit told me to have no hesitation about going with them. These six brothers also went with me, and we entered the man's house. He told us how he had seen an angel appear in his house and say, 'Send to Joppa for Simon, who is called Peter. He will bring you a message through which you and all your household will be saved.' As I began to speak, the Holy Spirit came on them as he had come on us at the beginning. And then I remembered what the Lord had said, 'John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit.' So if God gave them the same gift as he gave us who believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, who was I to think that I could oppose God?" When they heard this, they had no further objections and praised God, saying, "So then, God has granted even the Gentiles repentance unto life." There is a word that we pay special attention to this time of year. It's the word contagious. Now, something that's contagious, of course, is easily transmitted from one person to another. This being cold and flu season, if we have the misfortune of getting sick with one of those, we hope that we do not pass that sickness on to someone else. But this morning, I wanted to take that word that we most often use in a negative context, and I want to put it in a positive context. I want to talk about how to become a contagious Christian. What the world needs now is more Christians. There's no question about that. It is the first need and the greatest need that the world has. And I want to tell you something about Christianity. Christianity is just as much caught as it is taught. Now, let me say that again. Christianity is just as much caught as it is taught. Christianity can spread through a home, through a neighborhood, through a community, just like the flu. And what I'm wondering this morning is this. Is there something that I can do to increase the chances that somebody is going to catch Christianity from me? Is there something that I can do to become a contagious Christian? Well, the answer is yes. And we can watch it happening in Acts chapters 10 and 11 as Peter's Christianity is transmitted to Cornelius and his household, the first Gentile converts. It took several things to make this happen, and let's notice what they are. And if you want to be a more contagious Christian, and you need to be, and I need to be, let's be sure that these qualities are present in our lives. How to be a contagious Christian? Number one, it takes virtue. It takes virtue. If you're in the text with us, look back at 4 and 5 of Acts 11. Peter began and explained everything to them precisely as it had happened. Verse 5, Peter says, I was in the city of Joppa praying. And then if you'll look down to verse 11 of Acts 11. Right then, three men who had been sent to me from Caesarea stopped at the house where I was staying. Verse 12, the Spirit told me to have no hesitation about going with them. These six brothers also went with me, and we entered the man's house. Now, in order to be contagious, I've got to have the disease. In order to be contagious, I've got to have the condition. I can't spread something. I can't give something away unless I possess it. And Peter had a case of Christianity. His Christianity was evidenced in two symptoms that we read about here. He prayed and he obeyed. He prayed so that he would know God's will for his life. And when he learned what God's will was, he did not hesitate to follow it. He did not hesitate to obey it. Later, Peter would write about being a contagious Christian in 1 Peter 3:15, the verse that Keith just read. And he says, first, set apart in your heart Christ as Lord. And then be ready to give an answer when people ask you about the hope that is in you. First, though, you got to live the life. First, you consecrate Jesus in your own heart and your own life. First, you pray and obey, and then you're ready to spread your faith to other people. Cecil Northcott, in his book, A Modern Epiphany, tells about teaching at an international Christian youth conference. Teenagers who were Christians from countries all around the world came together and had a conference. And Cecil Northcott was a teacher there. He said in one of the breakout sessions, he had a group of teenage Christians from all over the world. And he was having them share effective means of spreading Christianity in their own country and in their own culture. There's a teenage girl from Africa named Maria. And she said, well, we don't have enough money to support missionaries. We don't even have enough money to buy tracts or pamphlets so that we can disperse them and share them. And so our missionary strategy is this. We send one or two Christian families to live in a village. They live there and they work there. And when people see what Christians are like, those other people want to be Christians as well. And folks, there's the plan. And what a beautiful, simple plan it is. We live with Christian virtue. Others see it and they want to get in on it. How do I become a more contagious Christian? Number one is virtue. Number two is vision. Look at verse 4. As Peter is explaining what had happened in the conversion of the Gentile Cornelius back in the previous chapter, chapter 10, Peter says, verse 5 actually is where he begins telling them what happened. I was in the city of Joppa praying, and in a trance I saw a vision. I saw something like a large sheet being let down from heaven, by its four corners, and it came down to where I was. I looked and saw four-footed animals of the earth, wild beasts, reptiles, and birds of the air. Peter had had the virtue in his life, and now he has a vision. God uses this strange vision of animals, unclean animals, coming down from heaven on this sheet and later being lifted back up into heaven. And by this vision, he wants to show Peter that Peter has been treating Gentiles like beasts, like useless, soulless animals. And God says, Peter, that is going to change. Just as the animals in the vision came down from heaven, unclean as they were, and then went back up into heaven, God was showing Peter that he intended to fit Gentiles and make them suitable for heaven. He was going to save Gentiles as well, and Peter was going to be a leader in that movement. And that vision set into motion a chain of events that led to Peter sharing his Christian faith with Cornelius and family. Now, God won't send you a strange vision like that likely. This is the exception rather than the rule. But you can't have vision. And in fact, to be a contagious Christian, you must have vision. We must, for example, envision the lost as really being lost. And that's hard. The world around us, for the most part, believes in heaven. And for the most part, they believe that you get to heaven by simply being a pretty good person. And it is so easy for us to fall into those cultural beliefs. And it is so easy for me to see a non-Christian and say, you know, they are such a good person. They're kind. And they're loving. They wouldn't harm a fly. And I just can't believe that God would really let them go to hell. But folks, if that is the way I see things, then I am never going to be a contagious Christian. When I look around, I have to see that the lost are really lost. Think about Cornelius. We've made this point before, but we ask, what kind of person was Cornelius? If you want to flip back to Acts 10, you can find out. Verse 1, at Caesarea, there was a man named Cornelius, a centurion in what was known as the Italian regiment. Listen to this. He and all his family were devout and God-fearing. He gave generously to those in need and prayed to God regularly. Verse 4, the angel said to Cornelius after he prayed, your prayers and gifts to the poor have come up as a memorial offering before God. Cornelius was such a good man. And God came to him and said, you're lost. You are on the path to hell. And you need to go find Peter, and Peter's going to tell you how to be saved. So we have to have a vision that the lost are really and truly lost and that they must hear the message of Jesus and respond. How are we going to be a contagious Christian? We need virtue. We need vision. Number three, we need a voice. Verse 7 of the text here in Acts 11. After seeing this strange vision, Peter says, here's what happened next. Then I heard a voice telling me, get up, Peter, kill and eat. I replied, verse 8, surely not, Lord. Nothing impure or unclean has ever entered my mouth. The voice spoke from heaven a second time, do not call anything impure that God has made clean. Peter had seen a vision, now he hears a voice. And this voice, the voice of the Lord, clarifies and reinforces the plan, and that is that Peter is going to take the message of the gospel to the Gentiles. Notice that God calls Peter by name. Do you see that in verse 7? Get up, Peter, kill and eat. Do you know that God knows your name? God knows your name. Did you know that God knows the name of every star in the universe? Listen to Psalm 147:4. He, God, determines the number of the stars and calls them each by name. Have y'all heard of this star registry? It's been around a long time now. Where you can actually pay money and have a star named after someone to honor them. I don't want to ruin anybody's business, but all the stars already have a name. And God knows the name, and God is able to call the name. God spoke to Peter, and he called Peter by name, and God speaks to you through his word, through the prompting of the Spirit, through people, through fellow believers, through circumstances, through writing. God speaks to you. And you'll become a contagious Christian when you hear with the ears of faith God saying, Mike, rise up and go be a contagious Christian. Mike, rise up and go share your faith with the people that you come in contact with today. Norman Cates tells about a man who would wake up each morning and say, Lord, if you want me to share my faith today, give me a sign. And he rode to work on the city bus, and one morning he was sitting on the bus. It was mostly empty, but they made a stop, and a man got up, and he could have sat anywhere, but the man came right up next to this man, and he sat right down beside him. And they rode for a minute, and the man began to weep. And then he began to talk, mostly to himself, and he said, you know, I'm lost, and I just need to be saved. My life is such a mess and I need salvation. If only I could be saved. He turned to the man who'd been praying about an opportunity and said, could you please tell me how to be saved? And this poor Christian bowed his head and said, Lord, is this a sign? Yes. Don't wait for the vision or the voice the way that Peter got it, at least. But, you know, yes, God wants me to share my faith. He wants me to be a contagious Christian. How to be a contagious Christian. Next, number four, a visit. A visit. Look at verses 11 and 12. Peter continues to tell what had happened with Cornelius. Right then, three men who had been sent to me from Caesarea stopped at the house where I was staying. They came to visit Peter. They'd come from Cornelius. Verse 12, the Spirit told me to have no hesitation about going with them. These six brothers also went with me, and we entered the man, Cornelius' house. So there are two visits here. The first is the men sent from Cornelius who were seekers of the faith, and they came to Peter as Peter worships and prays. They come to Peter seeking the truth about Jesus. We in this congregation have that happen every Sunday. We have seekers who come to us. They visit our worship services and they are seeking to know more about God. How are they treated? Are they treated like strangers or are they treated like guests? It's so important how we treat them. Do you know that Gandhi, as he was getting ready to lead the people of India, knew that spirituality, religion, needed to be a part of it? And so he started looking around at the world's religions, trying to decide which one would be best to lead the millions and millions and millions in the country of India. Looking into Christianity, he went to a church. And because of the color of his skin, he was mistreated in that Christian church. And he walked away saying, you know what, I believe in Jesus, and I think Jesus could be good for the Indian people, but I don't believe in Christians. So finally he settled on the Hindu religion and was such a driving force in so many Indians practicing Hinduism. First impression is so very important. First impression is a lasting impression. A little boy was listening to somebody pray at church, and the man prayed for those who were sick of this church. And later he said, "Mama, why are people sick of our church?" Well, I sure hope it's not because we are treating guests, visitors poorly. Let's reach out and rally around them. Let's ask questions. Let's be interested about their lives. Let's be helpful if we can. Let's be sure we make a good impression on our visitors. But then there's a second visit here, and that's when Peter went to Cornelius' house. Secrets had come to Peter, and so then he returns the visit, and he goes to find Cornelius. We need to come in contact with people if we are going to be contagious and if they're going to catch what we have. Two of the four of us in our Kelly household have had the flu, and they said, "Hey, if you come within 6 feet of them, then, you're liable to get the flu." You come in contact, close contact with people, and that's how you're contagious. And so we have to come in contact with people who are lost if we're going to spread our faith. We have to. May I encourage you to find your evangelistic style? All styles don't have to be the same, but find yours. Mordecai Ham was a famous preacher in the late 1800s, early 1900s, and he had a direct style of evangelism. He would go and he would hold meetings, week-long meetings in churches, and he would say to the people when he comes, he would say, "Look, I don't want to hang out and have fellowship with believers. I want you to take me to the areas where there are the worst sinners in the community living, and I want to be around those people." Mordecai Ham once chased a man into a cornfield. He was a scoundrel in the community, and everybody knew it, and Mordecai went out to visit him, and he saw the man duck into a cornfield, and Mordecai Ham went after him. And he got out there, and he found the man, and the man wanted to know what his intentions were, and Mordecai Ham said, "I'm going to pray that God will kill you." The man said, "No, you can't do that." And Mordecai said, "Well, you don't believe in God anyway, so why are you afraid of me to do that?" And the man said, "Please don't pray that God will kill me." And so Mordecai Ham said, "Okay, well, I'll pray for your salvation. Stand still and bow your head." And he prayed. And the last night of that meeting, that man and his wife came down the aisle and became Christians. Now, that's not my style. Although I am committing to being more direct than I've been in the past because I need to. And maybe that's not your style, but find your style. Once somebody asked Mordecai Ham about his evangelistic strategy, and the lady who asked him said, "Well, I don't like that strategy of sharing the faith." And Mordecai said, "Well, what's your strategy?" And the lady said, "Well, I don't really have one." And he said, "Well, I like my strategy better than yours." So have one. Have a style and make your visits by text or by phone or by note or by card or by visit or by study or by inviting or by social media, whatever it is, you find yours. And let's get busy doing it. I have a 2020 vision for our church this year. Each one reach one. We have 218 people here this morning. This year of 2020, if each one could reach only one, we'd be over 400 this time next year. And you know, the latest studies that I've seen say that if you invite six people to church, one of them will come. One out of six. So let's get out there and let's sow the seed this year and let's each one try to reach one. As we close, I'd like to ask you, if you have your Bible there, turn to Acts chapter 29. Acts chapter 29. Anybody see a problem with that? There's not an Acts 29. The story just stops. I mean, Paul is right in the middle of something real serious, and then it just stops in Acts 28, and we don't know what happens. We don't know what happens with Peter. We don't know what happens with Paul, and we say, "Well, why does the story just stop?" And I want to tell you, because we're still writing it. The book of Acts is about what Jesus continued to do through his church, and that story is still being written. You want to see Acts 29? Look around you. It's us. And God says to the folks in the book of Acts way back yonder when, hey, you are going to be witnesses in Judea, Samaria, to the ends of the earth. And he is still saying it to us in the story of Jesus, and what Jesus is doing through his church is still being written. Let's make it good in this year of 2020. So let me tell you that if you don't have Jesus in your life, you're lost. And maybe you're a good person just like Cornelius, but still you need to come to Jesus for salvation. If you want to do that, then we're offering you an opportunity this morning. Cornelius had to hear the message. Peter brought it to him. He had to believe it. He had to repent of his sins. And though he was a good man, he had sins. And then he had to be baptized, immersed in water, so that the sins in his life could be washed away through faith in Jesus. If you've never done that, we invite you to do it. Come right now. Together we stand and sing.